Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today, the topic of our podcast is Suicide Mansion, the story of a haunted or a rumored to be haunted mansion in Philadelphia, in St. Louis.
Close.
Yeah, close. That was the home of some mysterious deaths, Brandy, and at least four suicides, count them, four. So we're going to talk about the Limp Mansion, but before we do, I would like to remind everyone that we are a true crime slash history slash whatever comedy podcast, and we use adult language, Brandy.
Goddamn right we do. We pretty much cover every fucking base you need there. True crime, comedy, adult humor.
History. Weirdos.
History.
I like our weirdos podcast the best. But anyway, I'm partial to weirdos, Brandy.
Weirdos? I've noticed. And or widows.
Weirdo widows, especially. Okay, so we're going to talk about Suicide Mansion. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by a lady who needs no introduction, the very lovely and talented Her Royal Highness, Colonel. Get it? Highness,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because she won't stay off the reefer, Timmy.
A lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Your Majesty, if at all?
You know, Timmy, it's been a rough week for a lot of us this week. It's been pretty awful. This week was Bridget Clavey's birthday.
Yes. One of our longtime listeners who we love.
Yes. It was her birthday. So that sucked. And
for people who don't know, Bridget passed away a few months back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then on top of all of that, we had another member pass away that I was just extremely, extremely fond of, Heather.
Yes.
And Heather was loved by a lot of people, and it was sudden, and I'm at a loss for words, and I know that Ben has been surrounded by not only some of his family, but a bunch of our family. While he goes through this. So, Ben, you know, we're thinking about you. And then, another Heather. And I want to say her last name's... Heather. Studebaker. Is that right? That's not right.
Heather Studebaker on her way down to comfort Ben.
Yeah.
To see our fellow dweebs down in Texas, which I don't trust those Texas dweebs. I would not have done this myself, but
well, no, I wanted to make sure I was getting her last name right. Cause I got a lot, but anyway, so she got in a horrible accident. She's okay. I guess everybody's in the car is okay, but, she was in an awful accident and I think had to have some surgery and, but she seems to be in good spirits. She seems to be on the mend. She looks like a badass.
Oh, she is hot.
Yeah, she looks like a badass. And so I want to make sure that we extend to her all of our well wishes and, you know, get better and stay safe and
I mean, it's
there's a lot going on.
And of course the loss of Heather was just, it just stunned, I think, all of us. We were all looking forward to Ben and Heather getting married, and it's just tragic, but it's cool to see how everyone came together though, and to support Ben and to support each other.
They were kind of the official dweeb couple, because they met on the page and in the group, and and Ben went down to Texas and got a job, and they were just going to be, they were our Prince Charles and Lady Di of the
dweeb, they really were. And Heather, we love you. Ben, hang in there, buddy. And it was great to see. We had a dweeb auction this weekend.
We did,
to raise some money, and that was a lot of fun. Did anyone bid on you, Charles? I don't know why they would, but did anyone bid on you?
I had a number of people bid on me. Timmy, I will say that the lovely Anna Garrett ended up purchasing me in the end, purchasing my services.
Couldn't she just give her $5 and not have to go through all that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It turned into an ugly bidding war, Timmy. I was afraid that
I don't think it did, Brandy. I don't remember an ugly bidding war for you, Colonel.
Yeah, it was quite
ugly. Do you remember that, Brandy?
I don't, but I completely missed it because I wasn't feeling very well and went to sleep early and a whole bit. But
you were popular. Someone bid on you. A lot of people bid on you.
I was purchased by
the lovely Leanne.
I think you were purchased by the lovely Leanne quite a while
ago. Now, that's where you got into the ugly bidding war over you, Timmy.
Well, you know.
It was going back and forth.
Well, I'm the money maker of the three. We have
he is a baron.
He's the baller. He's a baller.
He's a baron.
I'm a baron. A baron baller. All right.
I guess we got to introduce Chuck. I got a bone to pick, though, Timmy. Well, let me introduce you first, okay?
And then you can pick your bone.
Wait a minute. Yeah. But have we also forgot to announce that I am the employee of the year and Chuck is not the employee of the year?
I was going to announce that.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
We joke around with Brandy a lot, but Brandy was named employee of the year last week.
Could I clarify something to me?
Okay.
She was put in the circle of excellence with a bunch of other people.
They changed the name of the award.
It was basically
a participation trophy. Award of.
Because you didn't get one.
Circle of Excellence. Is that the official title?
Circle of Excellence.
Whatever. Sure. I don't know.
It's not the Circle of Trust, like in Meet the Fuckers.
It is not. God damn it. I wouldn't let her in there.
But congratulations, Brandy. It's well deserved.
Yeah, I'm a big fucking deal.
I gotta stand up.
I'm gonna have an Oscar moment and stand up and get to give a speech, and I will not thank you, Chuck.
Are you gonna bring an Indian in with you?
I might.
The poor Marlon Brando, and just stand up there and don't do anything.
I'm gonna wear a sash, and I may find myself a tiara.
Well, you should. Yeah, because that is a big deal.
You may find yourself a tiara. I'm sure you've got a collection of tiaras around the house there somewhere, Princess. So,
first of all, clearly I do, but I need, this requires a new one.
Well, okay. Let me see if I can get my bedazzler out here.
Can I introduce Chuck now so we can get on with this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of Brandy time. Shit.
She's got a lot going on.
She's got a lot going on. Let me introduce a man who needs no introduction, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
A man who is known, he's not really known. He is known as an oasis in the desert of despair, Brandy.
By nobody.
He is a man who is considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Well, here we go. What's wrong, Colonel?
I'm not good. First of all, Timmy, I got a number of issues. We got this one put in the circle of excellence.
He is in the circle of excellence.
Yes. Meanwhile, I have been overlooked for 14 years now, Timmy.
wait a minute. I'm in the circle of excellence. Chuck lives in the rectangle of regret. That's
good. I live in the triangle of torment.
You're sort of the Susan Lucci of Hamilton County.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, no, because Brandy, I think Susan Lucci was she should have won. So she
she should have, and eventually she did.
She was worthy of it.
Yeah.
Yes,
eventually she did win, but as we know, Chuck will never win any of these things.
Well, I'm sorry, Colonel. We're 14 minutes into this podcast and we haven't talked about Suicide Mansion, but continue with Colonel time.
Well, and then we had the auction, of course, yes. And for a very, very good cause. But some people, Timmy, you it's like, okay, your auction, you Leanne Flanagan.
Yes.
Won you.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems like a lovely woman. And lovely. I thought about bidding on her, but she does this false advertising thing, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
As we know.
Please get the fuck over it. It's been, what, like 8 years now?
Well, she's not Irish.
Move on.
And I just.
Well, neither are you, and you claim to be Irish.
Well, he's not Cajun.
I claim to be a colonel, too. So. And so I just sent her a message, and I was like, hey, I'll up to bid. $5 more if you just do it. Talk to me, Skype me in an Irish accent. And she was pretty rude to me, Timmy.
Well,
so her response,
sorry, Colonel.
Her response, even for our show and our adult humor, was not fitting to be repeated.
Even with the disclaimer of...
Even with the disclaimer of we do use foul language.
I do want to say, Colonel, in all seriousness, I listened to your new podcast yesterday. Spy stories. You of course, and the lovely Karen Michelle. It's really good. I'm surprised that she can do so well with you on that podcast, but somehow she does.
Somehow so is she. That's what she tells me.
She carries it. Oh, yes, she definitely does. Carries it. But it is really, really good. So check it out, Spy Stories. It's on iTunes and all your favorite podcast apps. It's really good. It's really good. I listened to the... Hercules Mulligan episode yesterday, and it was excellent.
Well, thanks for that recommendation on doing Hercules. He was an interesting guy.
He was.
Interesting guy.
Let's talk about Suicide Mansion now, okay?
Let's talk about people jumping out windows. Because ain't no way to start your day like hearing about people jumping out windows.
We trying to be an uplifting podcast.
Yeah, this ain't... Tony Robbins does not recommend this.
The Limp Mansion is a 33-room mansion in St. Louis, Missouri, Brandy. The home was owned by the Limp family, L-E-M-P. I guess I'm saying it right. They were brewing magnates who produced Falstaff beer. And if you've ever tasted Falstaff beer, you'd probably commit suicide yourself. Such shitty beer.
It's not the finest beer you're ever going to run into.
It's not the champagne of beers.
No, it's not. But anyway, the mansion has been the site of numerous mysterious deaths and at least 4 suicides. The home was built over a large number of caves and tunnels and is believed to be haunted by those who died in its within its walls and a mysterious monkey boy, Brandy, who lives behind the walls.
I need to know more about the monkey boy, immediately.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, but we'll get to it. The Limp family.
Now, you know, when you got a Limp family, Timmy, somebody inevitably is going to name one of the boys Dick. And you got to go through a life named Dick Limp.
I heard Renee refers to your house as Limp Mansion.
Nice.
She calls it the Suicide Mansion. But Dick Limp, I mean, when you got the name, you'd think you would just avoid certain things. But you know there's a Dick Limp out there.
The Limp family was famous brewers who dominated the St. Louis beer market before Prohibition with its Falstaff beer. The original patriarch of the Limp family was a guy named Johann Adam Limp, and he was born in Germany in 1798, and he migrated to the United States in the 1840s and opened up a grocery in downtown St. Louis. It was typical of groceries at the time. Lipp sold his own beer by 1840. So he, I guess it was a house beer or something. By 1840, he focused, it was a microbrewery. That's what it was.
Exactly.
By 1840, he focused solely on the manufacture and sale of beer. He figured out real quick where he was, what side his bread was buttered. The beer quickly became popular among the large German population of St. Louis. And as the beer brewery prospered, so did the family, and they became very, very wealthy.
There's a lot of money in beer.
Yeah, and there is. And anyway, south of St. Louis, there was a series of caves that provided natural refrigeration. Remember, this is 1840, so before they had freezers. The brewery was built over a series of caves and tunnels in St. Louis. By the 1860s, there were at least 40 breweries in the St. Louis area taking advantage of these caves, and the Western Brewing Company being the most successful, and that's the one that was founded by Adam Limp. But even though Adam founded a brewery, it was his son, William Limp Sr. See, now, how do you know you're a senior until you have a junior, Brandon?
Yeah, he was the big Limp.
Isn't that kind of, aren't you kind of, that's devil's work, really, because you're...
It's really an aspirational name, Timmy.
Oh, it's aspirational. Okay.
His name's Willie Limp.
Well, he's got a whip, Lily. So he turned it to the brewery into a success beyond anyone's imagination, Brandy, and become one of the most successful breweries in the country, making the Limp family very wealthy. They're still Limp, but they're wealthy.
Yeah. Still sliding that foot around, walking down the hall.
Oh, my God.
If you had a limp dick back in those days, you were just out of luck, weren't you? I mean, I mean, there was no Viagra. There was no, I mean, I guess I read where like one of the mafia, could you read back in the 40s where one of the mafia guys had a, you know, dick implant where they, this, it looked very complicated where you had to like a pump thing, Brandy.
I imagine it was very complicated.
Yeah, but they, it was like the, his, you know, it didn't go over well with the rest of the mob because they thought it was like, you know,
sign of weakness.
Yeah. No. But anyway, yeah, back in the 1840s, pump. If you had a limp dick, you were pretty much out of business, I would think.
Yeah. So well, on those vacuum pumps, I think. Or a vacuum cleaner.
In 1840.
But that was a dangerous business there, yeah. Mm. Well, did they have electricity then, Timmy? Let's see.
I don't think so. 1840? Huh. When did, check it out. Do the research on that.
Well, they would have had the telegraph.
On August 23rd, 1860.
You didn't even have porn back then, Timmy.
Yeah. Or you get that, like, French postcards or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see a titty or something, but big deal.
Yeah, those things get all ruined and the edges get bent and then they're not in pristine condition anymore.
They get stained. On August 23rd, 1862, Brandy, Adam Lipp died and William Sr. took over as president of the Western Brewery Company. In 1860,
this happened at a board meeting. He was just sitting in his chair, Timmy, and went limp.
Guy, dudes, I was going to post. I didn't post it this morning, but there was I think it was in Australia, a comedian died on TV. Like this
weekend. I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah, he just like, he's doing like his act and and people thought it was the act. It was pretty embarrassing.
Happened to one of us.
Last he got on.
I know, I'm going to go right in the middle of one of Chuck's stories, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In 1860,
well, the difference. Mm-hmm. Between the comedian and you know, you, Timmy, is the comedian's cat's not going to eat it.
Probably.
That's going to be your fate, Timmy. We all know this.
That's the problem of doing these things remotely, is that when I die, you guys won't even know until...
until the end.
Right, until you're reading it, like the Patreon list.
Yeah.
In 1868, Jacob Frickert, who was William Limp Sr.'s father-in-law, He built a house a short distance from the Limp Brewery. And in 1876, William Limp purchased this house, and he used it as his residence and an auxiliary office. While the home was quite impressive, it was it's 33 rooms, Randy. Your thoughts on that? I think the White House only has 31 rooms, so I'll give you something to compare it to. Limp immediately began renovating and expanding it.
So it was a cozy place.
Compensating.
It was cozy.
He's compensating.
Yeah, well, he's limp. For a 33-room house into a Victorian showplace. So, sounds really nice so far, Brandy.
Yep, I'm in.
From the mansion, it's not a tiny house. From the mansion,
no.
A tunnel was built from the basement through a series of caves directly to the brewery. So he could, like, go to work and come back. Oh, you know his employees hated that shit.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm just going to take the underground.
If you got in the circle of excellence in that company, you really have done something, because you've got, you know, Limp Willie going underneath these, you know, the brewery, going back and forth. When mechanical refrigeration became available, parts of the cave was converted for other purposes, including a natural auditorium and a theater. They also had a bowling alley in there.
Was going to say, what's the point of having a big house if you don't have a bowling alley?
Yeah, they did. They had one. The underground oasis would later spawn a large concrete swimming pool with hot water piped in from the brewery bowling house. Oh, that's cool. That's smart, Colonel.
And a bowling like
alley.
Beer.
Okay. And a bowling alley. At one and time...
Give you a yeast infection bathing in that stuff.
Oh, God.
And the theater was accessible only by way of a spiral staircase, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Spiral staircases are dangerous.
In 1901, a devastating loss took place in the Limp Mansion. It shook the family to its core, Brandy, and spelled disaster for the family fortune.
Dun, dun, dun.
Little did the Limps know, the death was only the first of what would become...
What the hell? Are you snorting cocaine?
What are you doing, Chuck?
I'm just sitting here minding my own goddamn business. My nose a little clogged up this morning. The pollen count's crazy in this city.
I think he is right, because I was dealing with it last night. So be a little patient with him, Brandy. He has a medical condition.
God damn, do you have any compassion in you whatsoever? You know, you all of a sudden you're in the circle of excellence and you're looking down on everybody.
No. That's not true. Just you.
She looked down on you before she was in.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, so the death that this we'll tell you about here in a minute became the first of a long line of suicides.
Let's talk more about yeast infections, devil.
And gruesome. Oh, come on. Why? Don't go there. That's gross. I don't like yeast infection. Really? I'm anti-yeast infection.
We all are.
One of the wealthiest and most powerful families in St. Louis, the Limps' fate quickly took a turn for the worse after building this beautiful, luxurious home. William and Julia had six children, the fourth, which William Sr.'s favorite, Frederick, was being groomed to replace his father. Why not William Jr.? We'll get to that. He was a dick.
Yeah.
But Frederick was being groomed to take his father's place at the head of the business. But unbeknownst to the family, Brandy, Frederick had significant health problems that would lead to his death of heart failure in 1901. He died in his sleep. It was speculated that he may have literally worked himself to death because he was working like 100 hours a week at this brewery. He died
much
in his
like
bed.
Me, Timmy, much like me, I'm trying to get into the circle of excellence, and I can't sleep my way into the circle of excellence like some other people can, Timmy. I can't sleep my way to a college degree.
You don't mean have. He don't mean have sex. He means you actually sleep at work.
Sleep your way in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the rectangle of regret, or whatever.
Yeah. The triangle of terror.
The square of solitude.
I will say the last person that won the award was Employee of the Year, but just, you know,
yeah,
he still is Employee of the Year. Be forever in.
He's my nemesis.
in the till the end of time.
Yeah,
Frederick died. My nemesis. Frederick died in the bedroom in this mansion. So he was the first death. The family took it, the death of, he was only 28 years old. He worked himself.
But he died, he died of natural causes, basically.
Yes.
Not really.
Okay.
Not
well,
really.
They said heart failure. Heart failure.
Well, yeah, but nobody killed him. He didn't jump out of
window.
No.
He died of natural causes. Died in his bedroom.
Well, he was only 28 years old. I don't know how natural that is.
Oh, we get some more.
Well, it was 1901.
1901, yes.
Yeah, so, you know.
Anyway, the family was shook up over the loss of their son. It was obvious to all of them that he was not coping. William, his dad, was not coping well. And he began to slowly, this is William Sr., slowly began to withdraw from the world, Brandy, much like we are prone to do.
Yes.
He was rarely seen in public and chose to walk to the brewery each day by using the cave system beneath the house. And all honesty, that's how I would go to work, too. I mean, you know, I would take the cave. Wouldn't you, Colonel?
You would shuffle along.
I would have bat poles, Timmy. I'd have poles going down into the caves. Then I would run through another one and take shortcuts.
It would be kind of cool to have caves, Brandy.
Unless you had a monkey boy down there.
This monkey boy story is a little fucked up. So I'm just, you know, you might want to be a little bit more sensitive to the monkey boy when you find out what it's about. But
I am pumped for the monkey boy.
On January 1st, 1904, that was New Year's Day, Brandy.
Yes, it was.
William Limp suffered another crushing blow with the death of his closest friend, Frederick Pabst. Of course, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And you know, the beer has never been the same since. Never been the same. No, Pabst was a fine beer at one time.
In 1903, it was a fine beer?
Well, when I was in high school, it was a fine beer.
There you go.
It was cheap. You could buy like three cases for $1.75.
Oh, so it was like Little Kings.
Oh, that was some of the harshest shit you could ever drink. But
Falstaff is not much better.
But you know what? It was like you could get 36 of them for a buck and a half and be like,
oh yeah.
But they had those green meanies. They had those little short bottles. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was
green
only
meanies,
about seven and a half. But they had the alcohol content was like 11% or something. So drinking one of those.
Hey, you remember when
Penny Draft Night? That's what they would sell.
Chuck,
they used to have that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we used to have a 25-cent draft night. Chuck, do you remember when you could? I don't think Brady. I think you're too young. But Chuck, do you remember when you could like buy 3% beer if you were 18?
Yeah, 3.2.
And then if you're 20, and then when you're 21, you could get the hard stuff.
Well, you know, we had this good system going, Timmy, because I was right at that age, you know, that turnover age, and we was too young to buy beer, but so we didn't want to steal the beer we had, but we wanted beer. So what we used to do, Timmy, is we would walk in and we would rotate and we'd grab our 12-pack of beer and we put it on the counter. Now, back in that day, you could get a 12-pack of beer for like $3.
Mm-hmm.
So we put our beer and our $3 on the counter. And when someone said, could I have your ID, we would just grab the beer and walk out the store. Now, we were not stealing beer, Timmy, because we left our money there to pay for the beer.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, that is called strong-arm robbery, Timmy.
They have rules against that.
They do, because one night, and this is a true story, I walked, just by coincidence, Timmy, as it was my turn, because we would do this all the time, I walked out right into the arms of an awaiting police officer, Timmy. It was not fun. It was not fun, but then they just...
I think they did that in Superbad, too, didn't they? Remember Superbad? Yeah. That was a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you did it, because we thought, you know, they can't get us for shoplifting if we actually leave the money there.
Mm.
But apparently there's other rules that if the person says stop and you just take their shit, apparently that's frowned upon by the local constable.
And you know, law enforcement are sticklers for rules, Brandy.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
They're bureaucrats.
So in 1904, Frederick Pabst was staying at the mansion. He was staying for the holiday, and he experienced a severe cough. He started choking in the middle of the night. A night butler, I would like to have a night butler, Brandy. A night Butler rushed to his aid and found that Frederick sitting naked in the corner of the room, shaking terribly. He was unable to speak and was just making loud choking noises, and then he expired. Your thoughts on that, Randy?
That sucks.
Well, I would like to have a night butler, though.
Do you know how many nights I have spent naked in a corner of the room shaking Timmy?
Making choking noises.
Choking. Yeah. It's just.
Obviously not just enough.
Tuesday through Thursday. That's
yeah, it's a common occurrence for you at Limp Mansion.
It is.
A coroner, I wish I could spell and pronounce words. A coroner ruled the death a heart attack, though no autopsy was performed, Brandy. Your thoughts?
Well, the autopsy probably would not have shown much.
The tragedy shook.
Why are you mocking this tragic death, devil?
The tragedy, it shook William Limp, I want you to know.
Well, he was like a wet noodle.
Even more. And he soon became indifferent to the details of running the brewery, Brandy.
Well, yeah.
He gave it up. He's outside the circle of excellence at this point.
Yes, he was.
I must tasted the Falstaff beer after he gave up, after he became indifferent, because it tastes like shit when I try it.
Tastes like warm panther piss, Timmy.
Yeah, you're right, Brandy. The PBR, it must be those caves or something.
Yeah, it's not good.
Although he still came to the office every day, he paid a little attention to work. And though he probably was on like his, you know, he was probably watching Netflix or something. And those who knew him say he seemed nervous, Brandy, and unsettled. And his physical and mental health were both beginning to decline, much like myself. He was often seen sitting in his office talking to himself, much like myself, or what he claimed to be ghost. Of his best friend and son. So he's seeing
apparitions?
Yeah. Apparitions.
You know what's always troubled me about beer, Timmy?
What?
Of course, you're probably like me. Did you have the beer can collection, Timmy?
Yes.
When you was a kid, you collected beer cans?
In college. In college.
Well, you have...
This
is no lie. People think I'm joking about this, but when we lived in the projects, do you know what our alarm system was, Timmy?
No.
We went over beer cans?
This is not a lie. We had the Venetian blinds, right? They came down. And you couldn't leave your window open in the summertime because people
come
in and steal.
Why would anyone want to rob you if you're living in the projects?
Because it was other people in the projects. If they could just steal a plastic convenience from you, they'd sleep in it. They'd come in and do it. I don't know why.
It's not very well thought out, obviously, do you think, Brandy?
Right.
You know, it seemed they could have gone to a better neighborhood, but they would. But around the first of the month, you know, the old people there, they'd cash their checks and maybe have some money around the house. But we would line up. This is a true story. Line up empty beer cans on the ledges of the windows.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if somebody tried to sneak in, they would move the Venetian blinds and it would knock all the beer cans off. That was our ghetto burglar alarm, Timmy.
I like that, Colonel.
You know what's also troubling for me, Timmy?
What?
Canadians make beer.
Yes.
What the hell do Canadians know about? See, do you think if you got all liquored up on Canadian beer, you'd be nicer? You wouldn't be like...
I don't know, but you can buy more because you can buy them with loonies.
You can. Mm. You can, but, you know, you drink the Molson or whatever, and it's like, all of a sudden, you know, you don't get into fights with people. You just, like, square dance, and you're like, hey, how you doing?
You know,
what the fuck are you yammering
about? Colonel, do you know how to piss off a Canadian stripper?
I do not, Timmy.
You give her a loony instead of a dollar. They're not big on the fucking loonies. You think they'd like a loony because it's their, you know, currency, but no. Mm-hmm. They want the greenback, Brandy.
Well, that's how the Canadians screw you, Timmy. You go up there, you know, you're a stranger in a strange land, and then you hand them, like, a thing, and they hand you a coin, and it's like, oh, no, sir, that's two loonies. It's like, how the fuck it doesn't say two loonies anywhere? I'm just supposed to take your word for this? On $1, $1. You go up to Canada, they give you poker chips and shit. You don't even know what you're getting back.
It's a racket, Brandy.
Hmm?
Yeah.
That's why Canada could never be the 51st state to me.
Oh, my God.
Brandy, tell us what happens at the Limp Mansion next.
So on February 13th, 1904, his suffering became unbearable. When William Limp awoke that morning, he ate his breakfast and mentioned to one of the servants that he was not feeling well. He finished eating, excused himself, and went back upstairs to his bedroom. Around 9:30, he took a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver and shot himself in the head with it. Blood spatter covered the bed and the walls.
That's pretty gruesome, Brandy.
So he walks up So hold on. He says he's not feeling well, and rather than take an aspirin, he shoots himself in the head. See, that doesn't seem like the road to recovery to me.
I don't think that's what he was looking for.
Yes, it solved his problem.
So this is the third death, right, Brandy? Third death. We had the son, we had Paps, and now William Limp Sr. Okay.
Yes. So thanks
Little
to this...
Limp. Little Limp's gone now.
Okay. No, this is Senior. This is Senior.
This is Senior.
Oh, yeah, this is a Big Limp.
The Big Limp. Yeah, the Big Limp.
Yeah. So thanks to the strengthening temperance movement, beer was significantly less popular by the time of William's death. So his eldest son, William Jr., or Billy, finally, took over the Western Brewery, but struggled to return it to its former glory. In fact, Billy, who evidently was a dipshit, was much better at partying than running a business.
Maybe he was monkey boy. You don't know.
Yeah. It was rumored that he took part in many discreet gatherings that involved illicit alcohol and prostitution.
Yeah, your thoughts on that, Colonel?
I'm not against illicit activity.
You don't want to bring a hooker to Limp Mansion, Colonel.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Keep her outside the walls.
Because you know what? They still want paid, Colonel.
They do. Yeah. And you're paying them by the hour. It doesn't matter how much you try to get them to cheerlead the thing. You're paying them by the goddamn hour.
Continue.
So Billy... The worst thing is, if you go a minute over, Timmy, they charge you for that second hour.
Continue, Brandy.
Even if you're only 6 minutes into it, you get charged for the 4 hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
need to find a hooker that charges by the minute.
Yeah, I know. You need one like a parking meter.
Yes.
So, Billy was lazy and would rather just spend the money than make it. So, he inherited the family business and vast fortune. Him and his wife, Lillian. Began to spend the inheritance. They began to spend the inheritance, filling the house with servants. The pair spent huge amounts on carriages, clothing, and arts.
This is my house, Lillian.
Shit.
This is my mansion, Lillian. You see all these fucking caves? They're mine. Lillian.
Did that phones back then?
I don't know. Oh, is her phone ringing? You know, that's my phone, Lillian. In my house, Lillian.
These are my rules.
My rules.
Odd. All right. So, So Lillian was a beautiful woman who came from a wealthy family herself. Her and Billy had married in 1899, and then Billy Limp III was born on September 26, 1900. Before long, Lillian became known as the Lavender Lady because of her fondness for the color. In addition to her lavender attire and accessories, she went so far as to have her carriage horses dyed lavender. Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Lillian, these are my horses.
wow. How about more money than sense?
My horses.
In the beginning, Will enjoyed showing off his trophy wife, as does my husband. But Will was a player.
Chuck born is with a silver trophy spoon. Husband.
Well, yeah, barely. Let's see. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he was used to doing and acting as he pleased. When William began to tire of his beautiful wife, he demanded that, well, this is just a suck life. He demanded that she must spend her time shopping and allotted her gave her $1,000 a day and gave her the ultimatum.
Holy shit.
That she didn't. Yeah.
And that was a lot of money back in 1904.
It's a lot of money now.
Yeah.
gave her the ultimatum that if she didn't spend it, she would get no more.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure, Brandy.
It's like Brewster's Millions every day.
Yeah, it is.
In the meantime, Billy was
busy running it away. Could you give it away, you think?
I don't know. But he was busy running the brewery during the day and pursuing all manner of decadent activities during the night.
Mm-hmm.
Holding lavish parties in the cave below the mansion, he would bring in numerous prostitutes for the entertainment of his friends.
Yeah, enjoying prostitutes can entertain. Very entertaining young ladies, usually.
Enjoying the swimming pool, the bowling alley, and the free
and this
flow
is back
beer.
In the day when you could get the syphilis, Timmy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
you couldn't get rid of
syphilis and went crazy. No, you had to slam it in a window, and maybe that was gonorrhea.
Did he ask?
Sure.
This is my bowling alley, man. In my house.
Will's shenanigans caught up with him.
Shenanigans
yes. Usually that will catch up with you, Brandy.
Shenanigans, you can only get by with them for so long, Devil.
Yes.
Well,
there's going to come a point in your life, Devil, when your shenanigans catch up to you. And I'm going to be there. And I'm going to mock you.
You're going to be dead by then.
She's got a point.
He caught up with him, and he sired a son with a woman other than his wife.
Uh-oh.
Today, there's no official documentation that the boy existed. However, the rumors that the boy was hidden in the mansion attic for his entire lifetime have been prevalent over the years.
Oh.
According to St. Louis historian Joe Gibbons, when he interviewed a former nanny and a chauffeur who worked in the mansion long ago, both of them verified that the boy did exist and was housed in the attic quarters that also housed the servants' rooms.
Yes, it's kind of sad. Continue, Brandy.
Spawned from Will's philandering with either one of the many prostitutes or a mansion servant, the boy was born with Down syndrome. Aw. A total embarrassment for the family, the boy was hidden away from the world in order to cloak
his
limps. Shame.
That. And then they called him the monkey boy?
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
What kind of fucked up monkey boy is?
Oh, I hadn't got that far. Damn it. I don't like that. I don't want to know about the monkey boy now.
All right, continue then.
But the fact that he had this illegitimate son living within the walls of the mansion didn't slow him down. He continued to party and entertain prostitutes. He said that the lavish orgies he hosted would cater to the St. Louis elite. These misdeeds became grounds for his wife to divorce him in 1908. Citing mistreatment and indecency. After
here's what I want to know.
He gave her $1,000 a day and she's bitching?
You're having lavish orgies. You got a goddamn bunch of purple horses running around your yard.
Lavender.
Your dad just went up and popped the top of his toupee off with a .38. And you got these crazy hookers running around the house. And your shame is a boy with Down syndrome.
Right. Right.
Hmm.
I don't like that. Let's see. After only 11 days, the divorce was successfully filed. Billy's wife received a large sum of money from the Limp family and gained full custody of their only son. Was that the one in the attic? Or no, I guess not.
No.
It was the other one.
It was the third.
Yeah. All right. Will's poor work habits, mismanagement, and prohibition doomed the family business. In 1918, the Western Brewery closed without giving any notice to its workers. Despite creating a non-alcoholic beer, the company simply could not sustain itself through prohibition. This proved to be more than Billy could handle. Approximately 4 years later, on September 29th, 1922, Billy became the second Limp to die from suicide within the Limp Mansion walls. 2 years after Billy's death, another Limp child succumbed, although not in the family home. As a young woman, Elsa Limp married the president of a prominent metal producing company in 1910. The marriage ended in divorce in 1918. Elsa became heartbroken when she lost custody of her son, William Limp III, because of a photograph that was presented at the trial that showed her smoking a cigarette.
Well, a cigarette? That wanton whore.
Yeah.
Well, she should have her children taken away from her.
Yeah.
5 days later. Well, and here's my thing. How long was she out there smoking? Because you know how long it took to snap a photograph back then.
Oh, yeah. You know, they had
it up on a tripod.
And they had to have that blanket over the photographer and shit. Yeah.
Like, what did she post? I don't get it. Gunpowder
going off.
Yeah.
They had paparazzi back then.
Well, it took them a while to set up.
Maybe they had like a film of her, you know, like the old videos where they're walking around really fast.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Five days later, Elsa shot herself in the bedroom she maintained at Limp Mansion. Yeah. What?
All right, we got another suicide. All right.
Yeah. By this time, the mansion was getting quite the reputation of being haunted or jinxed. So much so that when it was put on the market in 1934, there was little to no interest from buyers. This infuriated Charles Limp, who is now heir to the family fortune. Charles wanted to sell the property and move to Europe, but with the Great Depression in full swing and the mansion's unsavory reputation, he was forced to live in the home. Charles Limp moved into the mansion in 1929, 5 years after his sister's suicide. Although Charles was unmarried and known for his penchant for solitude, a married couple moved in with him, along with Charles's dog and two servants. The society pages of St. Louis paid little attention to Charles's unique arrangements with Manfred and Elsa Till. Eliza. Ooh. Manfred and Eliza Till.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excuse me.
Manfred.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, well, here we go.
They don't have that name very much anymore, Manfred.
No, they don't. Apparently, the three were married to each other in a non-traditional way. Charles was in love with Eliza. Charles proposed marriage to Eliza, but she was already married to Manfred, and at the time, refused to leave him. Charles was desperate for Eliza's affections, even if he had to share them, and offered to pay the couple to move in with him and live as man and wife in man. The couple reluctantly agreed to the arrangement for a hefty sum of $80,000.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
That's a lot of cash even today.
Eliza died in her sleep shortly after moving to the mansion. The coroner ruled she died of natural causes, even though she was only 26. Rumors had it that she died from a laudanum overdose. Even though his wife was now dead, Manfred refused to move out of the mansion, claiming his wife would have wanted him to say.
Wait a minute, read that in the license again, Brandy.
Even though his wife was now dead, Manfred refused to move out of the mansion, claiming his wife would have wanted him to stay.
So this guy has, he has to bring in Manfred because he's in love with Eliza, right? She's only going to marry him if she can stay married to Manfred and get $80,000. So he gives him $80,000, moves them both into his mansion. She dies, and now her husband, Manfred, refuses to move, saying, you know, that she would have wanted him to stay.
Well, here's the other thing. If they're living as man and wife and man, then wouldn't the two of them be married?
Oh, God.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think so.
So, and squatter's rights and all.
I feel bad this guy. He paid $80,000 and agreed to share the love of his life with Manfred. And she dies, but he's still stuck with this fucking Manfred guy. That sucks, Colonel.
Yeah.
It does suck. Mm. It does suck.
What happens next, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, all kinds of just ill, terrible things happen next.
Okay.
I don't know if I can bring myself to even say it, but he'd left some instructions for his body, right?
Wait, you're jumping ahead. What happened? Hold on,
I'm jumping ahead. In May of 1949,
let me check, you're missing part of your script. After a few months, Charles could no longer hide his contempt for Manfred.
Contempt for Manfred, yeah.
Yes.
And then, this is what the son of a bitch does, Timmy.
Okay.
Rather than shoot Manfred,
yeah,
he shot his dog.
Oh, that sucks, man. You got to admit, Brandy, that's going a bit too far.
That is going, it doing is. A bit much.
It's just too goddamn much. He shot his dog and then shot himself. That's why, you know why he couldn't, because this is back before the magic erasers and Ajax and all that stuff. Jesus. Every goddamn room in this mansion's got chunks of scalp in it. How the fuck you gonna sell a house like this?
He got blood splatter everywhere.
Yeah. It was a CSI wet dream in that house.
So he leaves a note. What does the note say?
It said, in case I am found dead, blame it on no one but me. It's not the damn ghost.
Because he tried to sell that place and couldn't sell it, Brandy, because of its reputation.
But, so, I don't know if him shooting himself in the head made it any easier for it to sell. So, he didn't seem like a good businessman. Now, he had left instructions for his body with a St. Louis funeral home 8 years earlier.
Uh-huh.
He was soon cremated.
He is prepared.
His ashes were dumped into the muddy Mississippi per his wishes.
Yeah.
That's some good prose right there, the muddy Mississippi. And he was dropped in the big muddy, Timmy.
Yeah.
So, in another note left 8 years prior, Charles left specific requests. His remains were to be taken by ambulance to the Missouri
Crematory. What are you giggling about?
His body.
He has the wrong script. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Colonel.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Am I going on?
No. You're fine. You're fine.
I'm going lazy. Okay. Clothed. He wanted his body taken to the crematory. His body was not to be bathed, clothed, or changed. His ashes were then to be put in, not into an oak box, not into a maple box, but a wicker box. And buried in this farm. There was to be no funeral on notice in the paper. Now, in total, the Limp family saw 4 of its members commit suicide.
4, Brandy. 4.
4. What do you think about that? That's a Brandy?
Lot. A lot of people.
No, it's not that many, really. I mean, in proportion, there were a lot of limps. So, many of the Limp Mansion's former residents are reported to still haunt the home today. From Billy's ill-begotten son to William Sr., only 2 of the Limp children lived full lives. And they was broken-down alcoholics, I bet. Now, Louise Limp...
They had a lot of beer. They could grape from their living room to... That would be good for drinking, Brandy, if you were connected by tunnels to the brewery.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
And, well, you need some kind of dumbwaiter system. Mm-hmm. Now, Louis Limp. They have some fucked up names, too. Louis Limp. I'm Louis Limp. It's like a Frenchman. Hello, I'm Louis Limp. Do you have a massage for me? He died of natural causes. This is my house, Louis. He died of natural causes in 1931. Now, Edwin lived to be 90. What, you know what I never understand about these son of bitches? You always hear about, back in the 1930s, people only lived to be like 36 years old. Every time we do one of these fucking stories, motherfuckers living to be 84.
But Edwin Limp lived to be 90, so.
Yeah, I mean, the two guys still be alive still if they wouldn't have shot themselves in the head. Now, his final dying request for his caretaker was to destroy every family heirloom. That seems just kind of hateful. And the family's art collection. How'd you like to be
the
heir to that estate and be like, what?
No, I would not do that. I mean, you know, my Elvis on black, whatever. Continue, Randy. Or Chuck, whoever you are.
Really?
I thought I was getting out when you died. I thought I was getting your dogs playing.
You're getting my art collection. You're getting my on black velvet, my dogs playing poker.
And your Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon album covered.
But you know what?
In a frame and a.
But you know what, Chuck? You get all that, but only if you go in and clear his computer browser history. Yes.
Well, you know, I can do that remotely now. If anything happens to Timmy, I can tap into Timmy's computer from my house and just clear out his cookies. Because we don't want any
tell you, I've paid plenty of money over my life for people to clear out my cookies.
You know how Bezos and Lyft and all those they're called disruptors, Timmy. They disrupt the regular business model. Mm-hmm. Here's what I propose, Timmy, is that you get your money's worth. It's an honest transaction because the sex workers have become too much like lawyers, Timmy. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to, they don't want to get their name associated with, you know, seedy people like lawyers. So rather than bill for that extra 30 minutes or just 1 minute, they wear little things like the new parking meters, where if your time runs out, you can just, like the car wash, where you can just put in another quarter and add 4 more minutes.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Can we fucking finish this? Do you have the right script finish?
He does. Continue, girl.
Jesus Christ.
Well, anyway... Well, we
this is why you're not in the circle of excellence.
In 1949, Colonel.
Louis died. Now, up to 1949, the mansion was sold off and transformed into a boarding house where you're going to end up living in your old age, devil. Now, it wasn't long before hauntings were reported. You and Lenny sitting at the boarding house sharing a common bathroom.
In the community living room, TV room.
So anyway, and you'll be bitching. Well, you'll be wanting to watch.
Don't say that channel.
Well, I'm gonna have to kill Lanny when he decides to turn it off. Orders. I'm gonna get real pissed.
Well, it won't be hard to take the remote. He only got one arm, remember? Plus,
I don't.
He works.
I got it.
Pep Boys, so you'll be able to.
Pep Boys open at night. You know what? I got kids, and at least one of them probably won't let me end up in a boarding house.
Until 9 o'clock, bed by 9:10.
She's going to end up a place where alcoholics go to die.
That's Vegas. Yes. I'm going to end up in Vegas.
Yes.
Whatever.
You're going to be one down on the Bowery there, devil.
As long as they let me have my cats.
Now I need you to listen to some
Cecil
of these terms.
Hotel.
You know who's that woman in Sunset? Who's that woman in Sunset Strip, Timmy?
What? You know, what girl?
The actress in Sunset Strip, you know, the old washed up actress.
Norma Desmond.
Norma Desmond. Norma Desmond. The devil going to be Norma Desmond sitting around talking about, I was in the Circle of Excellence.
Do you remember when Carol Burnett used to do Nora Desmond?
Yeah.
That is what my girlfriend Tracy looks like when she stones. She does that with her eye. It's so fucked up.
Yeah, it should be devil gonna have
will be that,
eyelashes, all kinds of
buddy.
Mascara on her eyes and talk about
I used to be someone.
Yeah.
I used to be in the Circle of Excellence.
Yeah.
That's right. I used to be someone.
So, I
had a podcast.
That's right.
We had 40,000 listeners.
I could have been a contender.
Goddamn right.
Well, so anyway, let's see. It was sold off and transformed into a boarding house. Yeah,
we got that. Yeah.
Wasn't long before hauntings were witnesses claimed to see a boy who asked for someone to play with him.
Aww.
There were reports of inexplicable burning sensations. And see, that's from the gonorrhea.
That's gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea. Cold spots, slamming doors, and other mysterious sounds that a boarding
probably
home
gunshots.
Quickly flopped. Yeah, and the gunshots. It flopped, but it was saved again in 1975. Supposedly, it isn't the only four limps who committed suicide that haunt the rooms of the Lynch Mansion today. There's also the story of the monkey face boy who can be seen around the attic. Now, this supposedly is the ghost of Billy's hidden son.
Aww.
Now, the Lynch family home currently functions as a restaurant and inn claimed by the Pointer family.
The Pointer sisters own it?
Yeah, and you know what?
Yes!
In the deed, and they were like, I'm so excited.
You know, I swear to God, they did a music video where one of them was naked in it.
Yeah,
I swear to God, I saw it at 2 a.m. I only saw it one time. I don't know if it was so excited. She was like she was getting out of the shower.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't.
It was the one that looked like a man. You know, the one looks like a man, right? Yeah, it was her.
Maybe, wait a minute. Let's break this down. You saw it once at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I came home. I worked at Pizza and I closed.
Maybe you were just, I don't know, a little tired or...
I don't know. I worked at Pizza Hut. I closed. I got home. Got to my apartment. I turned on MTV. And
they're like
the Pointer Sisters. And the one was coming out of the shower. And she opened up her towel. Because, you know, there was rumored that one of the Pointer Sisters was a dude, right? That was the rumor back in the day.
Well, clearly it wasn't that one.
Now, I saw it. Well, I mean, it did exist. I'm going to have to Google it after we get off of here. But
it was rumored because when they were singing, one had a voice like, you know, I'm so excited.
I thought it was because one had a cock.
All right. Yeah. Maybe it's that. Yeah. That gives it away.
Sometimes it ain't the deep voice.
Yeah. So much it is, it's a penis.
It's a 9 inches you're hanging down there. So.
All right. Continue, Colonel.
Well, there's the story of the monkey face boy, right? Who
we got that one.
That's Billy's son. The Limp family currently functions as a restaurant and is owned by the Porter family. The upscale bed and breakfast also holds a fine restaurant and dining hall for events.
So, Brandy, when you go to St. Louis, you could stay at the Limp house.
I didn't know I was going to St. Louis, but okay.
No, but if you do, you can stay at the Limp.
I can.
Now, it was falling into shambles when Richard Pointer bought it in 1975. That might be the one they think is a dude, Timmy.
Dick Pointer. Okay.
Now, it was during the home's extensive renovations that they started reporting strange occurrences. Now, multiple people have reported experiencing an exceptionally intense feeling of being watched. Once, Pointer's son was sleeping alone in the home with his dog when he heard a loud bang just outside his bedroom door, which is prone to happen in that house where every other motherfucker wants to shoot themselves in the head.
Exactly.
He searched the entire house but found nothing. Now, one night while closing,
two keys were played on the piano. See, that's some spooky shit right there. That just make your ass puck up.
It wouldn't be so bad if it was like playing ragtime or something, you know, something you could dance.
Playing Beethoven just to call it. But, you know, and you know it was two keys from that really scary end, Jimmy.
Yes. Well, maybe, you know, Monkey Boy just didn't know how to play the piano. You know, he's just learning.
Scary end.
Well, I don't feel like
scary end of the piano.
Yeah, there's a scary end and the happy end of the piano. Devil.
Jesus. Yeah, come on, Brandon.
You think about music?
Colonel knows things.
Scary. Yeah. Hey, I was a competitive pianist back in the day.
I was a competitive
pianist
back in the day. Yeah. I was very competitive, I'll have you know.
I was a tiny
You still
penis.
Are.
No. Reformed.
So there's all kinds of crazy shit going on.
Yes.
A candle on the mantle one time lit itself on its own.
Well, that's convenient, Brandy.
Well, yeah,
that just seemed...
When it lit
it's
itself
like on
its own.
You don't have to get up. You don't have to worry about having the matches.
It's like having a clapper.
It is.
A drawer to dress it that belonged to Limps opens of its own accord. Objects just fly out. That's like, I've seen a Disney movie like that. Objects
that was
disappear
Beauty and the Beast.
Reappear. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast. I saw that one. Objects it's disappear
scary
and reappear.
Hell.
In different locations. Now, that's just from having cats in the house. Soft, disemboweled voices can be heard. Well, no, disembodied, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Disembodied.
Either one.
Disemboweled.
Disemboweled voices. Like,
that'd be cool.
And the clip-clop of horse hooves. Those are the Budweiser Clydesdale.
Just lavender horse hooves.
With people.
Yeah, they're
it's
lavender.
Like, oh. I'm sorry, did your brewery close? We're just traveling about down the road here. So anyway, all kinds of strange shit. Now, the pointers say they've lost a fair amount of employees due to this unexplained phenomenon. But the employees say it's the pointers. They just, you know, they run into trouble with them sometimes. Because they're walking around singing all the time. No, I mean... You can't just sing
they're
all the
so
time.
Excited. Yes.
Yeah,
so excited.
It's like, you know what? I like that song, but slow not hand. All day. You know, it's like, let's not have our 10-minute meeting every morning and have to do the, I'm so excited about cleaning the floors. No, I'm not really excited.
I feel like that's the only song he knows by then.
Yes.
Well, did they do We Are Family? Which one?
No, that was Sister Sledge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, Tim. My aunt, you mentioned Karen, the co-host on the other show. Uh-huh. She told me she had to go to the store. She was picking up some peaches, and I said, "Don't forget to get some herb." And she said to me, "What do you mean?"
Oh, well, she's young, Colonel. She don't know peaches
I know.
And herb.
Well, that's when you feel really old. But it feels like she should do a better job of keeping up.
Do you, Brandy? Do you say? Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. were doing the nasty.
Yes, they were.
All right.
And Patti LaBelle and Michael McDowell.
That is the story of Limp Mansion, Brandy. Your final thoughts on Suicide Mansion, Brandy, better known as Limp Mansion in St. Louis, Mo.
I will never, ever stay there.
And Charles. Your final thoughts on William Limp Sr. and Suicide Mansion.
Well, the first thing they should have done, what I would have done, it was I would have said, when people said William Limp, I would have said, no, Limp. 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 Not Limp. Limp.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, not that caught people up. Mr. Limp. How'd you like the prostitutes to be calling you? Hey, Mr. Limp, I'm ready for you. Of course you're going to shoot yourself in the head sooner or later. That's just not good for your self-esteem.
Yeah, one time we went to this brothel in Mexico, Tijuana, and we had a bet. I mean, my buddy,
Jesus.
When the girls, you know, the girls would take the guys and they go upstairs and we'd have, you know, we'd bet on how long they would be gone. I swear some of these guys, they weren't gone like 7 minutes. And they're back.
That's my Tijuana story, Brandy. Your thoughts?
Well, Timmy, you know my theory on that. You know my thinking.
Yeah, I know. It's a
like
race.
A horse race. Yes.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're paying, right?
You don't have to get a discount. See, this is my thing, Timmy. Mm-hmm. If I've just paid you for an hour and it's only taken me 5 minutes, then rub my goddamn back for a half.
Or sing five minutes.
Or sing. Yeah, yes. Go get me something cold to drink. I don't know. But you can't just, it's just unseemly to have me leave and then have someone else. You're double dipping if somebody else is doing you on my time.
Yeah, because when you think about how much they get paid by the hour, it's pretty good money, right?
You should definitely bring it up next time you're down.
So they should wait a full 1 hour before they bring in the next customer.
That's
all I'm saying. Yeah.
Colonel, we would like to thank all of the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, and for us to continue to bring you this quality entertainment,
Jesus.
Please go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
Okay, Colonel, give some shout-outs.
Well, let's start with Jim Seabright.
Yes, Jim drew that beautiful picture of Heather.
Yes, it was
amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty damn amazing. Let's see. We got Andrew Scammell, Tommy, our favorite Hawaiian, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Malachi, Brandon McBride, Jennifer Sabota, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kenny, Hiro, The Comeback Podcast, L.K. Barnute, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Bridget Clavey, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, who I bought in the auction.
And she is partying like a rock star down there in Austin.
She is, but you know what? She's going to wake up.
With Jason and Jim Pribble. Go ahead.
She's going to wake up hungover and realize I got title to her, Timmy.
Yes.
So, Stephen Potts.
Stephen Potts.
His adorable little girls. And the smartest girl on our young lady listening to us, the lovely Anna Garrett.
Yes.
She purchased the Colonel in the auction.
Oh, God. So she might use you in unsavory ways.
Yeah. A buddy, Ben Dobrovich. Yeah.
I bet she won't, but go ahead.
Well, she might. You never know. But our buddy, Ben Dobrovich, was thinking about you.
Yes, we are.
Ursula. Of course, Clark and Diane Trowbridge. Have you noticed Diane's taken to attacking me a wee bit, Timmy?
Well, it's deserved.
Well, it's because she hates you. It is. Beth Ann. The next Mrs. Walters, Michelle Johns. Margaret McDonald. Aaron Turner, Jess. Leanne Flanagan.
The lovely Leanne Flanagan.
Now a new research assistant for Deadball?
She's my lovely research assistant on Deadball, yes. Hello.
So you can have like 20 minutes a day where you can just tell her what to do?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, go do this.
She doesn't listen to me, so it doesn't matter.
I know, but it's still fun to tell people what to do.
Yes, it's true.
Even though they ignore you. Then you got to live with the shame.
Kind of like Brandy.
Apparently,
that gets you in the circle of excellence.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We know how Brandy got in the circle of excellence. Yes, we do. They should have called it the circle of hell. But, and then she would have been the queen of the whole circle.
Don't be a hater, Chuck. Green is not your color.
Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson. Of course, the They Walk Among Us podcast.
And that's with our good friends, Rosanna and Ben.
Ben, yes. Lorna Violet, Michael Dale, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones.
Lovely Callie Jones.
The lovely Callie Jones. Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terrors, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, let's see, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois,
Christine Bourgeois and
Kimberly
Christine, she's had some health issues with her
time this week.
Yeah, so Christine, we're thinking about you.
But it seems like it's working out. So
yes,
for
yes,
Christine, thank God. There's a recovery. Kimberly Cameron, one of the next justices on the Supreme Court.
I think so. She would be. She would do a wonderful job. I wish she would be named Chief Justice.
Yes. Elise Edgerton. History goes bump. Amber Trevino. Annette Petraeus. Lise. Lahara Lopez. Alicia and Chip Mincy. Markia Smith. Dr. Jeff and Dawn. Andrew Happ. Karen Barnes. Rachel Flynn. Shirley Strap.
You know, Karen Barnes, I offered her $20 to sing, do her
Bruce
Allison.
Shoes.
Oh my God! I wake up this morning. Did you see it? It's so
I did
fun.
See it. Yeah.
Oh my God! It's hilarious. Thank you, Karen. Yes. I'll donate the $20 to the Heather Fund. It was really, really fun.
Shirley Strap, Timmy.
The lovely Shirley
Strap. I talked
to her
on the phone not too long ago.
Is she doing okay?
She's doing very well. She's doing very well.
Come back, Shirley. We miss you.
Todd Long. Melissa Montoya, Maja, and my co-host, the lovely Karen Michelle.
Yes.
Carol Elise.
Spy Stories. Check it out.
Kristen Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, the other podcast that I do with Karen Michelle, the Context and Clarity podcast.
Yes.
Paula Kimes, The Vantage podcast, Canadian True Crime. Which
the lovely Christy Lee.
Canadian true crime. It just seems like those people, they don't really commit crimes. It's like, oh, sorry. Yeah, I hit you in the head with an adjective. Oh, my bad. Here, let me fix that. But then, you know, here, let me hit you in the head with an adjective again. But apparently they do kill each other.
They have a lot of lumberjacks up there, Colonel.
They do. They got a lot of lumberjack on lumberjack crime up there, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And hockey. They're big on hockey.
They are big on hockey. Charlie Worrell.
Yes, the lovely Charlie.
Yes. Angela Santos, Lydia Wasson Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams.
By the way, Charlie is having a birthday this Thursday. So happy birthday, Charlie.
Yay.
Oh.
Well, I think it's the big 4-0.
Is it really?
I think so, yeah.
Whatever. 4-0.
Charlie, that's 40, Brandy. I meant 40.
Yes, I recognize that.
You can't ask the devil to just figure that stuff out. Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Vaca, Mark and Chi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, Robin Sherrod, Ruth, Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt, the lovely Lady Beverly, who I, Timmy, now have possession of because
you
I
won the bid for
auction.
The lovely Lady Beverly. Beverly, we love you. It was very kind of her to participate.
Rudy, the Wonder Dog, who won.
And are you
going to
lean? Are you going to lean Charlene Negrin off again? Because you always do that.
I thought I started with her. Charlene Negrin, Timmy.
Okay.
Negrin.
I see.
Or it could be Negrin. It depends really if you're in Texas, if you're in Iowa,
it
or
doesn't
if you're in
probably
North Carolina.
Depend at all.
Sometimes it's going to be Negrin. Sometimes it's going to be Negrin.
Okay.
But we all do appreciate you.
We do.
And we have, and this was an ugly, ugly bidding war to me in the auction. Rudy the Wonder Dog Walters.
Yeah, who won Rudy?
Karen Michelle ended up winning Rudy.
Nice.
Because she has met Rudy in person, Timmy, at DweebCon. And she was jealous of the other people voting on or bidding on Rudy. So she said, Rudy shall be mine. And of course we cannot end without saying thank you to our number one fan. Well, she probably doesn't like us that much, but you know, most of our fans don't. The lovely, lovely Dottie Scott. Dottie, we racked up a pretty decent body count.
I think that Nina is her favorite podcast now. Already gone.
Is it? She switched on us.
I swear to God, every time it used to be like whenever I get like by her bedroom or something, I'd hear our podcast, like Deadball or History Dweebs. Now every time I'm hearing Nina's voice, every time I go come into my condo, it's like,
and does she
is Nina here? Huh? Yeah, I don't know. She really likes Already Gone. So
does your mom ever say, why can't you get Brandy to talk like that?
You know what we'll do is like we'll see if she even mentions us talking about her.
Yeah.
See if she even listens to us anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should. Well, I can almost tell you she doesn't, the poor woman. She's got no, I mean she got 45 million things going on. And which should say our good friend Joe is doing well.
Oh yes.
Nina said Joe.
Yes.
He's
good. I'm glad to hear
he is one so tough old guy, that one.
I hope that he makes it down to DweebCon this year.
Oh, I'm fairly certain we're going to see him at DweebCon.
The first weekend of October in Cincinnati is DweebCon. If you would want more information on that, please go to join our Facebook group. And all the people we mentioned here are there. And yes. We would love for you to join us. That's History Dweebs, the podcast. And we're going to be in Chicago when, Brandy? In July.
July 13th.
July 13th, that's at the True Crime Podcast Festival. We will be there, and Colonel and I will be stripping for dollars. So
we
if
will
you would
be
like
stripping.
To,
Bambi quarters.
Yes.
We don't know.
Yeah. But no loonies. No fucking loonies.
No fucking loonies. And only what my G-string can hold. So try to use quarters.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.